He is risen. Isn't he though? Yay. Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer before we get started into God's word. Father God, we know that you're here, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in about this sanctuary. I for those who have been able to make it out, I thank you for their presence here, and I also want to pray for those who called me up this morning and yesterday to say they were ill and would not be able to make it. So I ask that you would be with them right now. And for those who are within my hearing this morning, listening online, Father God, I ask that you would be with them in a very special way during this very special season. In your name I pray, amen. This morning, I'm going to ask for some audience participation. All right, and so there's some stories that have been rewritten, and so I just want you to react to these familiar stories that I'm about to speak of. All right, so the first story, Rudolph. A reindeer named Rudolph has a regular nose and helps Santa deliver his presents with no hiccups in the plan. Is this a better story or a worse story? Is it a better story? I mean, we kind of know the story, I think. So now we're rewriting it. So we're saying that the reindeer named Rudolph has a regular nose and helps Santa deliver his presents without no hiccups in the plan. Everything went smooth. Is that a better story? No, not really. Okay. Man. All right. Okay. How about Spider-Man? All right. Once upon a time, a guy by the name of Peter Parker lived in a world without any villains. There was no crime, no death, or spider bites. He was a guy. How about that story? No? That's not even a story, but I'm just saying, I'm rewriting the story. What do you think? All right. Okay. All right. The Lord of the Rings, all right? For those of you who have seen that, once upon a time, there were some happy hobbits. No, that's it. Is that a better story? Once upon a time, there were some happy hobbits. No? All right. Okay. Well, listen to this. I think we all know this. Good stories involve conflict, brokenness, and trials. We know this is true inevitably in the stories we listen to that I just rewrote this morning. Without it, we would be bored. Without that, we would feel that our time was wasted. And even listening to the story, if there wasn't any type of conflict or brokenness or trials, we tend to define what a good story is in our lives differently. In our own lives, though, we define them as good and bad, better or worse, in our stories, they're very different. While you or someone you know or love is in the middle of brokenness or in a trial or conflict, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. In fact, it feels wrong. We often find ourselves wondering, could this be God's plan? How can this possibly be the story God is writing in my life? Did I do something wrong? Have you ever asked yourselves that? Am I doing something wrong? Did I get off on the wrong track somewhere? Is this what God intended for my life? How God wrote his own story, it's almost Christmas. And the season is full of stories being told, right? Like Frosty the Snowman, right? We know that story. The Nutcracker, and for us believers, especially the very real story of Jesus' birth, that story Luke 2, 1 through 7. As you listen, I want you to have a very specific question in your mind. What can we learn about what Jesus writes, a good story based on himself? What kind of questions? So when we look at Luke 2, 1 through 7, just very quickly, it says, once upon a time, there was this pagan leader demanded that all people, including Jewish people, all right, who is a leader did not, and the people that people did not respect or support, report to their hometowns for a census, right? He said, I want, hey, Lottie, and everybody to come here and give me your coin. And granted, each of these people, especially in the case of Joseph and Mary, they had to travel 70 miles. Okay, now, Mary is with child, okay? 70 miles. That's like going to Anchorage and back, knock off 10 miles, all right? I know for some, I've never been pregnant, okay? So, but ladies, just can you imagine yourself being on an animal, all right? A donkey from 70 miles going to Anchorage? We haven't even turned around yet. Just going to Anchorage, all right? And then coming back. This is what Mary did. From the town of Nazareth, Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. While they were on their way home and people of the time came for the baby to see the baby born and to see Mary give birth to her firstborn, a son. He was wrapped in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was not a guest room. This isn't a very pretty story, is it? It's full of brokenness, inconvenience, and it almost seems meaningless. When we step back and think about it, the same question for God arises with his story as we ask our own. Why this way, God? If you can do anything, if you can create anything, any story you wanted, is this the story you want for your son? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, this is his story? It would almost seem like, okay, we're talking about the King of Kings, like there should be trumpeters and, you know, he is coming and he's walking down this aisle and here Jesus comes in robes flowing. But no, he comes to us as a humble child wrapped in rags. Okay, let's talk about a real life example. There's this woman who wrote about her struggle. She's trying to start a family. For years, she struggled with God. Why? Why is this so difficult? Why is this so broken? She felt as far away from God as she possibly could feel, not understanding why this was happening to her. She wondered, did I do something wrong? Has God left me? Then she got angry at God. She's like, I did everything right. I've been following you. I read my Bible every day. I pray. I go to church 3 times a week. I've been faithful. Why can't you not give me this one good thing? Then she questioned herself. Maybe God doesn't want me to be a mother. Because does God think I wouldn't be a good mother? Was this meant to be? But then she went back to questioning. If you're good and you're powerful and you're all of that, why are you not writing a better story for my life? Has anyone ever felt like that? Come on, has anybody ever felt like that? If you haven't, stand by. Your time is coming. I have to admit, I too have felt that same way. Come on, God. Where are you at? Will you please show up today? You're kind of late. Maybe Mary and Joseph did too. There with this new baby in a barn with animals. And their son in a feeding trough. Listen, questioning can feel wrong. They put us in a posture to grow. This question can feel wrong. I can feel unfaithful, ungrateful to look God in the face and ask, what is going on? What are you doing? But the truth is this. God, what are you doing? What is he doing? He's putting us into a posture to grow. You like, for kids maybe, you know, those in high school, you like saying, why can't I be on the varsity team? I believe I should be on the varsity team, coach. And coach is saying, hey, I'm just giving you time to grow. I want you to grow in the JV. Because one day, what you learn in the JV is going to prove dividends when you're on the varsity. God is doing something. God is doing something. He is doing something beautiful. God is doing something beautiful beyond your understanding. He is writing a story that is beautiful, not by avoiding the brokenness, not by leaving us in brokenness, but what he will accomplish through his brokenness. Do you know that your story, the story that he's writing, the story that you're living out, do you know that other people will read your story? People will hear about your story and they'll say, man, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. And then when they see the beautifulness of your story, they're seeing what you went through, the brokenness, and how you turned out on the other end. It gives them hope. So let's look at these stories again. Rewrite these stories, these popular stories. Let's say Rudolph, okay? Rudolph's nose makes him so embarrassed, he goes into hiding. Santa can't find his way. Christmas is ruined. A guy named Peter Parker gets bitten by a spider, turned radioactive, spends life in the basement. How's that story sound? Or Frodo puts on the ring, evil wins, the world is destroyed. It is not brokenness that makes the stories good, but it's what happens through it. If you haven't, spoiler alert, okay? If you haven't seen all these movies, okay, hang on, all right? So you might want to cover your ears, all right? So I think I'm safe with this one. Rudolph finds out through his trial, his unique giftedness, and contributes to the very society that tried to outcast him. Remember? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, shiny nose, nobody liked him. They didn't invite him to any of the reindeer games. They're like, please, Rudolph, get out of here. I know that's not the way the song goes, all right, but the same person that they shun, this brokenness that Rudolph went through, now he's the hero, right? Peter Parker, he takes Spider-Man, he takes this power and adds great responsibility to it. Through his brokenness, through his bite, from a spider being radioactive. He doesn't go down into the basement and just hang there for the rest of his life. He flips it. The story that was meant for, he thought was bad, is for good. Okay, what am I going to do with this power that I've been given? Frodo, all right, I know that some of you may not have seen The Hobbit, all right, but Frodo goes on adventures he never would have imagined himself capable of having, and saves the world, all while making a set of friends along the way. I know those are movies, but how about this story I was telling of this woman in real life, a real story? She was going through this brokenness about having a child, and 5 years later, she ends up adopting a child. And she said that within the first 5 seconds of seeing her new son's face, 5 years of questions were answered. God always answers questions. He always answers our questions. 5 seconds turned to 5 years of brokenness into the most profound beauty she had ever experienced. What was God doing? God was giving her a son. Sometimes we've got to go through the brokenness to appreciate what God's going to give us. All right, so enough of the Hollywood, and we share this, but let's get back to the real story, the Jesus story found in Luke 2, 1 through 20. And this time, as you listen, I want you to listen with this specific question in mind. What is God doing with all the brokenness we found earlier? How is he making what is broken beautiful? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world. This was the first census took. This first census took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's not brokenness that makes a good story, but what happens through it. God came as a baby in a human form. God came humbly. He announced his birth of Jesus in the lowest run of society. And in a far-off field, the shepherds. He was born of an unwed teenage girl in a home of animals. Not too pretty. But that wasn't the end. Through this brokenness, our God told a story where he loves us so much that he will not remain distant. He will not remain separate. He will go to any length. Through this brokenness, our God wrote a story where the road to love is low, where the messengers of love are small and unexpected. Through this brokenness, our God invites us to a story where we don't need to clean ourselves up. So many people think, well, I need to clean myself up. If I'm expected to be a Christian, I got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing that. Quit waiting. Quit waiting. Just come as you are. He's writing a story in you. A beautiful one. One that people in this society will look and go, oh, wow. Let me close. There are two practices I want to give you as we end our time together. We're going to try it now together and hope that throughout this season you can try this in your real life outside of this place. The first practice is to recognize and remember how God has brought about beauty in your brokenness before. So right now, are you going to take just a short moment of silence and contemplate and maybe even write down words or symbols that represent a time in your life where God has taken something broken and made it to something beautiful? I don't know. I look out here and I know that there are people listening that they're saying, okay, I remember a time. I remember a time when life was not good to me. And maybe you're in a time right now that life is not good to you. And so the second practice is this, is to ask and hope. Identify a situation in your life or the world that is broken. If your life isn't broken, then there's probably somebody else's life that is broken, yes? Someone you know about? Someone that you can reach out to? We have remembered that God has come through before, maybe not in the way that we wanted, or maybe the way that we preferred, but always in a way of love and beauty. So ask right in the middle of this situation, God, what are you doing? We ask, how can I join you in what you are doing? And we hold on to the hope that we have Jesus. We know that Jesus has come to be with us. Right now, in this moment, right now, writing your story. Our brokenness and the grief is part of our story. But that brokenness and that grief does not define who you are. Will you please stand?